Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. So try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code FURY, that's F-U-R-Y, at checkout to get 10% off is the word. Squarespace. Start here, go anywhere. And now let's start the show. That's it. I'm Regine Hunter.
What? Really? I guessed it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm SZA.
And this is The Read.
Another week.
Who else said that? Bernie Mac? I feel like Bernie Mac said Asuki Suki now a lot.
Probably. I'm trying to think of like who originated it though, and I don't know.
Probably just...
I'm sure that started before I was even born.
Yeah. I feel like that was something an uncle made up.
In the 60s.
In a backyard.
Somebody's house party.
Yeah. And it just caught on.
While drinking something spiked.
Hey guys.
Hi everybody. Oh my God. Speaking of SZA, I am SZA this week because of sobriety. Did you hear it? I love her. If you have not gotten into SZA, fucking Google her new single, Sobriety. It is, like, I love it. Like, I seriously sat there on NPR's website and replayed it like 50 times. I love that song so much.
I'm a huge fan.
God, I love her. And she's coming here with Janae Aiko and the internet. I cannot fucking wait. Like, I bought my ticket the minute they went on sale.
Thrilled about that. And speaking of concerts, I just saw Jennifer Hudson. I just saw Jasmine Sullivan last night.
Oh, Jasmine Sullivan is just, she's really everything.
There's just...
Have you gotten over it? You look a little...
No, I'm not finished. It's still in my spirit. And I just can't deal with how amazing that woman's voice is. Yeah. And it kind of just annoys me that you have artists that are selling all of these millions and millions of copies of whatever bullshit it is that they put out that either can't sing or can sing but have zero control over their voice. Mm-hmm. And then you have underrated ass, not to say that nobody knows the fuck, I mean, obviously Jasmine Sullivan is a known name and artist, but I just still feel like she's unappreciated and she's underrated. Mm-hmm. When that woman opened her fucking mouth.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that she seems to be very much like, fuck the industry. When she don't want to be bothered, she just goes and sits down somewhere. Yeah, which I completely understand. But if you're not putting a record out, you know, every 6 to 8 months, if you're not staying with a new single and the new this, then the
kids lose track easily. Why, you know, she took a break during the show. If you haven't, I suggest that you look up some dates for Jasmine Sullivan and go and watch her, you won't regret it. But she talks about it, and, you know, she is human and took a break because she needed one, and I appreciate that. But either way, the new music, the old music, everything slays. Her voice is phenomenal, and I'm just so excited for her album.
Okay, good. I can't wait to hear it then.
Such a big fan. So glad I got to see her. I stood outside in 25 degrees. 25 whole black stone cold American degrees. I stood out there. Mm-hmm. And I waited for that woman to come out and sing, and she didn't let me down.
I can't do it. It's way too fucking cold outside, and it happened literally overnight. It was like one day it was 60 and then the next it was fucking 32. Like,
well,
really?
I said, bitch, she's not scared of lions, tigers, or bears, so the least that I could do is get over my fear
stupid.
Of this cold. So I just took my black ass out there, and it was a great time.
Well, look at God.
So yeah, this week in a segment that we like to call Fuck Them Niggas Over There.
Just every week.
I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
Oh wait, Black Excellence.
Okay. I just thought you didn't have one.
No. Black Excellence this week goes out to a 7-year-old girl by the name of Leah Flynn from Sanford, Florida. Leah Flynn is basically a violin prodigy.
Okay.
And told her mother that she wants to go to Ferguson to play her violin to try and promote peace, because she didn't really understand what was going on when she saw photos and videos, I guess, on the news of the stuff going on in Ferguson. But what she did understand was that people looked sad.
Oh.
And so she wants to go out to Ferguson and play her violin to make people happy and bring peace. And when I tell you that this little girl slays piece of instrument.
I'm sure she does.
She is so... First of all, okay. So I read this on theroot.com, where I'm sure you can go over there and find it very easily, like on the main page or something. But the video they have, she talks about playing a song that her dad taught her called Let There Be Peace. Mm-hmm. But the video they have is her playing The Prayer.
Okay.
You know, David Foster and Donnie McClurkin, Yolanda. That prayer.
Okay.
I had to stop it.
A 7-year-old? Really?
I had to stop it at about 34 seconds because I just, the emotions, the feelings are everywhere.
Oh,
like, I just,
God.
I didn't have time.
Wow. Just I'm going to so check that much. Out. What a gift.
Yeah, so.
That's so sweet of her. Like, kids are just so, you know, they see people are sad and they just don't want people to be sad. Like, I just, I admire that about children.
Some kids.
Well, okay. You just hate kids. But that's very touching.
This one is great.
Yes. This particular baby is not offensive.
So great job over there, parents of young Aaliyah Flynn. And in Sanford, a tab on top of it. Like Sanford.
Oh, in Sanford, Florida. Yeah. Wow.
And I'm sure she doesn't even know that. So speaking of feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Solange got married this past weekend.
I thought she was gonna be the Black Excellence. Cause
Black Excellence is to showcase people that you probably don't know.
So. Oh, okay. I mean, because she came out of nowhere with that dope ass wedding. Like, you should have known, but
I kind of knew that Solange was going to give, like, I knew that her Solange is going to, her Solange. I knew that her wedding was going to be the shit. I don't think that I knew how awesome that it, I just didn't really expect for us to get a glimpse of it so quickly.
Right, right.
Because, you know, with the family, which is a big part of the thing I love about them. They keep their business their motherfucking self. And they will share photos and videos and fabrics and shit when they're ready. And that may be a decade later, but you're going to deal with it.
And that's just it. But nobody in that family is showing their literal booty hole on camera for checks. So.
I didn't think that. I thought that, you know, if anything, she's probably going to have this, you know, dope wedding and just enjoy herself. And we may see a couple of, you know, pictures of it. Next week, maybe a few more weeks, if that,
right.
Like if at all.
Like one picture on Instagram, I thought it was what it was going to be.
So first I saw the Knowles Carters. I saw them storm.
Yes. Blue Ivy and her hair, though. Oh, God.
It was just so, it was blown out. It was just very, it was like just.
And her little pearl colored, like Princess Tiana dress. I don't know what you call that design, but it had like the little, whatever you call those overlapping leaves looking things on the skirt.
Okay.
It was, do you know what I'm talking about though?
Like I the dress.
I don't know what that
about.
I don't know fashion.
I don't know.
But she looked adorable. It was like, here's somebody who knows to put their 2-year-old in clothes meant for a 2-year-old. Like they are baby clothes. Like
and that little Creole cloud of a fro was
yes,
just
and it was
floating.
Just so and I thought later, like, I wonder if she like combed it out like that so it would look like Solange's, like so their hair would match on the wedding day. It was just
I'm not sure if she was a flower girl or if she was a ring bearer. I think she was but there's a photo.
I wouldn't even
Beyonce
be surprised
posted.
If Beyonce had Blue Ivy be, or if Solange had Blue be the ring bearer, just to switch shit up. Just
it
to
looks
like
she was
whatever.
Passing them. She was definitely putting something in Solange's hands.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a ring or if it was some petals. I don't know what it was that she did. But she
it's
had a job
so
and she brought it. She brought it. She
was
brought
just
her
like
fucking
taking over,
A game.
Oh, okay, to Annie. All right, I got it. It was so cute. But Solange, like, really. I just can't even, I don't know how you pulled this shit off, girl, because it was gorgeous.
Well, we have to get there.
Okay.
So, obviously, Beyonce looked great. Jay-Z and his suit were very nice as well. Then Miss Tina came out here, honey, and Miss Tina decided that she was just going to give you all of it. Just like, and not even really all of it, but just an, it's so full.
Yes.
So full. It's enough that this woman is just kind of like, at this point, she has to wake up every morning and be like, y'all are welcome.
Right.
Like, you're welcome. You are welcome.
I would do that. I would address the world every day when I woke up. Like, yes, I gave birth to the greatness that is Beyonce and Solange. You hoes are welcome. I am Legacy Grace. I am, like, throwback Slay, and you will recognize and deal with it. She got rid of that old nigga and upgraded to some new and improved penis. And Miss Tina just, she looks happy. She looks like she don't have a
she
fucking thing to worry about.
Looks so good.
She was snatched.
So then Solange comes out here and she's basically, it looked like they rode a bike to the wedding, maybe.
Yeah, like they had matching white bikes with like flowers and shit up on
the
front.
And then she had on this pantsuit, which I thought was great. Her fro is just absolutely flourishing and kissing the sunlight. Her now husband was dapper, but he's always, that nigga's always in a suit. Yes. Like, he's always sharp.
He always looks good. Like, damn.
And just looks like, it looked like such a fun time. Then those photos of them all standing side by side looking like American Horror Story slayage.
Yes, looking like just an army of, like, angels or bad bitches, just whatever you wanted to call them. But all of them in their white, and then their different color shoes. Angie got, like, the I need to pee pose. And then Janelle is the only one smiling. But it was just, I thought it was just so cute. And for Solange to be just like, bitch, that cape? Like, I'm here.
She didn't have to do that.
I'm here to save y'all from these tired ass celebrity weddings where people spend a gazillion dollars and go off to Italy and do whatever fuck bullshit and it looks a mess. Like, I kept my shit low key and in New Orleans and it was still gorgeous as fuck. That cape was everything, my nigga. With the gold cuffs, you could not tell Solange. And for this bitch to have like 3 or 4 different outfit changes and for all of them to slay like they did. This bitch wore 2 different white pantsuits and looked good in both of them.
Did not abandon the color scheme. Did not at all abandon it. It was just so. And I'm sure they probably put that together in like a week. Like, it's just like, I love them. I feel like they're a very great, that whole family for me. I love them so much because I think they're a very great example of how one should approach celebrity. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is shit you can't escape. Like, you know, you might smack the shit out of your husband. I mean, your brother-in-law.
Right.
And might end up on the fucking internet for it. But at this, I'm going to be cautious and responsible in the way that I present myself and my craft.
But it also just seemed very true to Solange. Like, it was just all the stuff. When you looked at it, it didn't seem like contrived or anything. It was just
her
like,
son,
that's the type of thing Solange would do.
To no flex zone.
When Jules hit the nay-nay, I was like, I'm actually done. Like, clock me out. I'm going the fuck home.
This is why I love, because that's all I need. Like, I don't want to know all of their business.
Yes,
I don't want to see every, you know, all of their pores. I don't need all of that. Mm-hmm. But if just every now and then, like a little glimpse into what's going on, like y'all enjoying a party.
Yes.
Or, you know, at a concert, I get a tiny millisecond view of Blue Ivy, you know, feasting on the hopes and dreams of lessers. Like, those are moments that I'm just like, this was really great. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And I'm good. Like, I don't need to know all your business.
Exactly.
I love that about certain celebrities, Beyonce, Solange, Jay-Z, especially. But then you have plenty of other people, like, for instance, Erykah Badu. I stand down for Erykah Badu. And when she shows us, like, parts of her personal life, like, on her Vine, when she's showing clips of her kids, you know, playing out in the rain or singing with her kids, like, it's just, like, if you go, like, people are going to be in your business regardless because you're famous, so you might as well, if you're going to share your business, share it your way and do it right. That's what I'm saying.
I don't see nothing wrong with that. I much prefer it to these hoes who are out here selling every piece of their personal lives for another dollar amount, feeling like whatever it is they can do to keep people talking is all that they need to be successful in life. I'm quite over those people. So my hat's off to you, Solange. That was a gorgeous ass wedding. Congratulations.
Speaking of those people, Erica Mena is apparently retiring from the game.
Okay, I need you to stop talking about her like I know who that is, or like anybody, like anybody should know who that is. But like, we're not just gonna say Erykah Mena like she is a legit celebrity.
So Erykah Mena is
on Love and
Hip Hop, an ex Kardashian cashier, or sales associate.
Did she really used to work at Kardashian?
Yes, she used to work at the Kardashian closet.
She really did? Yes. Okay, fine. And that's the one fucking Bow Wow.
Yes.
See, I be keeping track of my low-budget celebrities.
So Erykah Mena apparently graduated from selling water for their Kim and Courtney and the rest of them to, you know, finding, I guess, the right rapper or she has a baby by somebody who, I don't know, was in like Terror Squad or New Edition. I don't know.
Bitch, Terror Squad or New Edition.
So I don't know. She has a baby by somebody who does something in the music industry or did. I don't know who he is, Dip but I know that because she was like on World Star at one point fighting him in the street, like outside of a BBQ's or something.
Of
whatever.
Course she was. Of course she was.
So then she went on Love and Hip Hop and fucked whoever, you know, wanted to. And then
where
she was bisexual from. Anyway, the point is now she's with Bow Wow. And while I believed that this was all a ploy for the next season of Love and Hip Hop New York, she claims that after she gets married, she and Bow Wow are engaged.
Okay.
That she will be quitting reality TV to be a wife.
To be a wife.
When asked by Vibe, do you plan to stay on TV once you're married? She says, quote, no, it's time to be a wife. It's time to be the woman my man needs. My man don't need a girl that's on TV. My man needs a girl by his side. Your man needs way more than that.
But your man already has a girl on TV. So how the fuck, what changes just because y'all signed a marriage license?
I don't.
See, I hate when you bring up these idiot, dizzy ass, dumb ass, silly ass, simple ass bitches. Like, why even talk if you gonna say something that fucking
Because
stupid?
It's also like celebratory. Because if she's not gonna be doing reality TV
That
anymore.
Is a lie. Remember when Chris Brown said he wasn't making music no more? That was a lie. This bitch is going to be on TV. All somebody has to do
well,
is
Chris
wave
Brown
a dollar
still has the opportunity to offer like a good record because he's capable of making good record. So someone is going to buy. People are buying Chris Brown's album. Like whether you hate him or not, he has something to offer. Erica Mena does not.
Okay. I mean, but regardless, like
literally nothing.
I'm wondering what she has done for her to be a quote-unquote celebrity. Like, what is she famous for?
Listen.
It can't be having a baby by a D-list rapper.
You have people like Kim Kardashian. You have people like Paris Hilton. You have, you know, several video vixens that have proven that all you really have to do is wear that bodycon dress, honey,
okay.
And beat that face, bitch, and install those weaves.
Yes.
And if your pussy is in the right place at the right time, you too can have a Rolex.
So nothing then is what you tell
me. Absolutely nothing.
All right. Fantastic.
And so if it's true that Erica Mena plans on quitting reality TV after she marries Bow Wow, then it will be a few months before, you know, the clubs stop offering appearance fees.
Right.
And we just no longer are speaking about her. And I'm ecstatic. Like, I'm very excited for that day to come.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll be just a few more months after that when they get divorced and she's right back on TV talking about it.
And I also admire the fact that she is willing to stand by Bow Wow's side after he just lost his job. You know, 106 and Park is a thing of the nigga past.
I had to really think about what job Bow Wow had. Right. That 106 and Park. Well, it's going digital. It's not just dead.
You can miss me with whatever it is that you just said.
Well, I was trying to look at the bright side, but yeah, 106 and Park is done. And it should be. Like, ain't nobody checking for countdown shows no more. I don't even think it has
Unless
that format
they're gonna bring
anymore.
Back Cedar's World. Because okay. I'll watch the fuck out of Cedar's World.
We can't have Cedar's World in 2014. It can't happen.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's a different time. We can't. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
That's not going to work.
It's not. No. I'm sorry. See, she had her time and place
what if
in
they
young
just, like,
urban history, but that's it.
What if they just made like a virtual Niecy Nash and had her like voice it?
So are you basically asking what if they had Cedar? Because I feel like Niecy
Nash. But if it's Niecy Nash, it's not like they're just making up some virtual.
But is Niecy Nash being like a character that you know about her, not her being herself, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's being like a Cedar character, so.
Or the girl, the young girl who was dating, who dated Josh from Drake and Josh on the Mindy Project.
Okay, now you're doing
it. No. You know Josh from the show Drake and Josh.
No, I don't. I never watched Drake and Josh.
Okay, you know the girl on the Mindy Project, the nurse, the black nurse on the Mindy Project.
Her. Yeah.
Who at first was kind of like ghetto fabulous and was like, what are you doing here? And then you realize that she was actually smart as fuck.
Yeah.
Like make that. Her the new Cedar.
Or just let it go.
Or just don't do it at all and just don't listen to me because my ideas are terrible.
Just let it go all together.
So good luck, you know, with Like Mike 3 or whatever you
call it. These people are so, like, Bow Wow, really? And for him to get have the nerve to get on Instagram and put up that picture of them and be like, people keep comparing us to J-Lo and Diddy.
Girl, shut your mouth, because they don't. That's a lie.
Bow Wow, nobody ever said that till you said that.
Like, I really want to know who lied.
Show me so the nigga who said, y'all remind me of J-Lo and Diddy for real. I show me that person so I can call them a liar to their face.
Show me the people. Because the way that it was, the way that Bow Wow was put in, it was right. Like very, like it was just an inescapable comparison.
Right.
Everybody just kept, no, they weren't. No, they were not.
No, they sure didn't.
Because Diddy and J-Lo do things.
Yes. Diddy and J-Lo both had careers. They had
and still
something were. To do. Like, these were people who contributed something to the world of entertainment. Erica Mena is, I don't even know what the fuck. Like, you Diddy, just, you brought this girl up out of nowhere.
Diddy and J-Lo could literally stop working because they've worked so much that they don't have to.
They don't
to
need
anymore.
To do shit else.
You have child support. Both of you.
Okay.
Both of you have child support for
Erica
children
Mena
that are
has,
not, like, you don't have together.
Okay. All right. This is, whatever. Good
because
luck
Because Bow Wow has a baby mama over here, and she wants the money on time.
Yeah, of course she does.
And I actually think that Erica Mena might have custody of her son. I don't really know.
Okay.
But well, even if regardless. She does, somebody's grandmama is taking care of him.
I was going to say, is she raising him?
So.
Anyway.
A lot of you were asking me what I thought about this Aaliyah movie. And the answer is, I didn't think about it.
That's it. That's really it.
I wasn't watching it. I didn't even remember that it was coming on. It was literally until all of you accosted my mentions with these Lifetime be like black Twitter memes that I was like, oh, that shit must have came on tonight.
Right. Because didn't we tell y'all about this?
Quite certain.
I don't even have to ask because I know. As well as I know my name, that we told y'all this movie is going to be some bullshit. We gave y'all several warnings.
We didn't
Nobody in Aaliyah's life signed off on it. They didn't even have clearance to use her fucking music.
Well, I don't think that we needed to tell y'all that. I was going to say I'm very certain that I told y'all I'm not watching it. Like,
oh, I definitely said that.
I'm very sure that I informed the internet that I am not participating in that bullshit that Lifetime is talking about. Mm-hmm. And I meant it. Yes. I think that y'all thought that I was joking.
No, every syllable. I meant it, like, very seriously. I'm not watching that fucking movie. I did not, and I shall not. I don't care. I already knew it was going to be some bullshit, and so did y'all. Y'all watched it for reasons only God can understand.
Wendy Williams, she responded to the backlash on her show, of course. And basically, without addressing the fact that the movie was apparently terrible, which we all knew.
Right.
She decided to highlight the fact that it was like the second most watched TV movie this year behind Flowers in the Attic.
Why wouldn't you? You might as well look on the bright side.
And, you know, she said something like, whether you liked it or you didn't, you watched it. So here's the problem. The bitch is right.
Yep.
She's very correct.
That's the issue.
And that
here.
Is the exact reason I told y'all niggas that I wasn't going to watch this damn movie. Because Lifetime knew. They knew that they were making a movie that was trash. Wendy Williams is the one that told them that they were making a movie that was trash on her fucking TV show. And they called her ass up and basically said, well, if you don't like it, do it yourself. And she did. You don't even have to talk about the fact that the nigga who was playing Timbaland looked like Arnaz from One on One, and the bitch that played Missy looked like La Sienna Boulevard is. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to talk about any of that. We can just simply talk about the fact, the manner in which this production was being handled, the manner in which the production, basically, you had one girl from Nickelodeon or Disney quit because you already didn't know what the fuck you were doing. And that girl was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to have my career ruined. Like, I'm 17, 16, 18, however the fuck old Zendaya is, or Zendaya, whatever the fuck her name is. She's like, you know what? I have so much future left, and I'd like for it to be bright, bitch. So what y'all aren't going to do is bury me a G.
Yes.
So, goodbye. After that, they had whoever the fuck this girl was come in here and do it, and then they just gave the shit to Wendy. Y'all watched it anyway. We had every piece of evidence that that movie was going to be trash. And you watched it anyway. Do you know how TV works? You want to know why you can just turn on the clicker and watch a show like this? I'm going to explain it to you for maybe a couple of y'all who don't understand what a commercial is. So TV shows, like networks, usually run these things called commercials. And commercials are advertisements that the network is paid to play so that they can make money for these productions. This is how they make their money back plus more. So when you watch the show anyway, even though you knew it was going to be garbage and you did it just to, you know, make these memes and just to laugh and blah, 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 even though Aaliyah's family is not laughing, even though Aaliyah's friends are not laughing, even though real Aaliyah fans who probably wear her t-shirt to bed every night, them niggas ain't laughing. You watch it anyway just to laugh and talk about how bad it is and then have the nerve to be in Wendy Williams mentions or adding Lifetime and their fucking mentions and talk about how they're trash and they should be ashamed of themselves and all this stuff. They don't give a fuck. They knew that that movie was going to be garbage and they knew your asses were gonna watch it anyway and then we're gonna make money from it. Yep. They don't give a fuck that the family, the friends, the fans are pissed about it. They give a fuck about the doll. They don't give a fuck about Aaliyah. They couldn't even use her music
and still made the movie.
That's
how you know they didn't care about nothing but a fucking check. That's
and they exactly got their check, you know, because y'all gave it to them anyway. So no, I don't know what the Aaliyah movie was like. I'm not concerned. I chose not to be a part of it. And maybe the next time that y'all submit like this Whitney Houston movie, maybe the next time that they have a flaw-ass movie or show or whatever coming out that you know is going to be trash, you'll just ignore it so that they can't make it again.
No, y'all won't. Y'all going to go ahead and watch it anyway because you don't truly give a shit about supporting something that is decent. You just want to get these tweets off. So go on and participate in your trending topics, but don't sit up and bitch about how shitty the movie was or run up in people's mentions like trying to start an argument and writing all these think pieces about how terrible the movie was. You knew it was going to be garbage and you watch it anyway. So terribleness is what you deserved. Congratulations. You earned it.
So we have to talk about Bill Cosby.
Girl, listen. Now, I haven't eaten since 8 a.m. and I'm peckish. I'm not certain I have the energy to go into how deep Bill Cosby's fuckery truly runs.
Well, we don't really need to. All we need to acknowledge is the fact that Bill Cosby is 77 years old and Bill Cosby has apparently been dodging rape allegations since like The Last Supper.
Bitch, I wasn't ready. I'm sorry.
Because people are coming forward and saying that, oh yeah, Bill Cosby raped or molested me or whatever, drugged me in like 1960 something.
Right. It's seriously been like 30, 40 years.
And I think at this point he has like 15 different women who are accusing him of this. Jesus. One including Janice Dickinson, who came out of nowhere and said that Cosby drugged her and basically she woke up in his bed or something the next day and her pajamas were off and there was like semen between her legs.
Oh, God.
And like the last thing that she remembers is Bill Cosby like taking his robe off and getting on top of her, and the next thing she knows, she woke up the next day.
Oh, God.
His lawyer comes forward and says that she's lying about that and whatnot, and I mean, it could very well be a lie. It could not be a lie. But even if Janice Dickinson is not, I find it hard to believe that Janice Dickinson is just coming out of nowhere and it's just like, oh yeah, girl, Bill Cosby fucking, like, it doesn't. But even if she's not telling the truth,
I don't see any reason to assume that she's lying. I don't.
Even if she is lying, you still have 14 other girls in line. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, his lawyer is, I think he put out a statement and said that the allegations are all false.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You want us to believe 15 different girls across the span of 3 or 4 different decades who don't know each other are all lying on you?
Not to mention, Bill, see the problem here, and I have this problem as well, is that when you think of Bill Cosby, you think of Cliff Huxtable, you think of Claire.
Right.
You think, well, some people, I think most people probably do.
Yeah.
I think of A Different World. I think of like Sesame Street and Jell-O and Puddin' Pops,
yeah,
and just like this awesome, it's just like the dad from Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to differentiate the person from the character that they played.
Right.
You know, and when you really think about it, Bill Cosby was out here running the streets with like Richard Pryor and a whole bunch of other comedians that have had like, that have notoriously had trouble with like drugs and women and all kinds of, so it's not like, if you really know Bill Cosby's history, it's not hard to believe that, especially in the 60s and 70s, that he was out here being a hot ass mess, being disgusting, really.
Right. It's really not.
It's just very, it, I can also admit that it's a hard pill to swallow because it's Bill Cosby, you know, like I love Bill Cosby, but at the same time, it's, it doesn't excuse his dirty dick nastiness.
Right. Like you love what you thought Bill Cosby was, or like the image of Bill Cosby, like. Because definitely when you think of him, I think the fact that that the Cosby Show, like Cliff Huxtable, like that is the person you think of. And that's who, like, he's like the childhood dad for everybody. And that shit has been in syndication ever since. So it's just like, that is the image you think of when you think of Bill Cosby. You don't think of like some nasty ass rapist. And so it's hard for me too to like separate the image that I've had of him in my head for all these years against, you know, like all these allegations. But first of all, how has this been like a secret or nobody really gave a shit for this long? Because I cannot believe I have not heard about anything like anything like this with Bill Cosby.
The thing is, I'm not 100% sure if this is accurate, but I have heard from a couple of different sources that Hannibal Buress, is a comedian that was like on Broad City and the Eric Andre Show, and she's like,
yeah,
Hannibal Buress, I guess, had a show recently where he brought it up and said like, do people forget about all this shit? I don't really know, because I haven't seen like a clip of it or anything, but this is where I heard was kind of like one of the places that these stories started to come back out from, like, okay. People were like, wait, what?
Right.
And like, And so started to dig deeper, wow. And so now it's all over the place. So I don't know if that's like 100% accurate, but that's where I heard it from. Either way, the allegations of him raping women aren't like, you know, undocumented. I guess he has a team that's just been very good at burying it, or, wow, you know, brushing it underneath the rug or whatever, but
I'm fucking real.
Yeah.
Well,
in the days of social
came.
Media now and shit like this and memes, and your team is asking people to make memes
that
out of you.
That was so fucking foolish.
It's just not a very good.
NBC and Netflix both cut him, like they had upcoming Cosby projects. I think Netflix had a special and NBC was doing a series or something. Both of that shit.
Comedy Central also, like, either pushed back or canceled some special.
TV Land decided to stop running the syndicated episodes of The Cosby Show. Like, it, like, the fallout is here, and that's like, that's not even just his checks. Like, what is Keisha Knight Pulliam supposed to do now? Go make Beauty Shop 4?
Are you fucking serious?
Like, shit. Like, that is like, look at the rest of that cast. Shit, them is checks. Like, you didn't just fuck up for yourself, Bill. Like, you fucked up a whole bunch of different people's livelihoods now. Like, all the people who were supposed to be working on these productions for these different networks, like, not saying that, you know, you shouldn't rape because you might have financial consequences. You shouldn't rape because it's your responsibility to keep your fucking penis to yourself. But, like, just all this bullshit with Bill Cosby has been, like, a lot over the past few days. And it seems like every day it's a new girl coming out talking about some nasty shit that he did. And I just cannot excuse it or let it go just because he's Bill Cosby. Like, I've seen a lot of people, most of them on Facebook, because that's where I tend to come across people with more... Anyway,
that's
but,
where I tend to not be ever, because Facebook, girl.
Sir, yeah, so mostly on Facebook, I've seen people who are like, I just don't believe that about Bill Cosby because he's always been so nice. This is like they know Bill Cosby.
Right.
Like, they kick it at Bill Cosby's house 3 nights a week. Like, that's just they nigga. Like, they call Camille Annie. Like, nigga, you don't know Bill Cosby. Whatever you think you might know about him or whatever you've seen about him on TV don't mean that's how he really is. So
right.
It's just a fucked up situation all around. I'm disgusted.
Well, to make it even more fucked up, Don Lemon's stupid ass was on one of these shows.
She's
just really so exhausting.
Where is TJ Holmes? Can he not come fill in for this nigga?
Oof.
Because Don Lemon has just done.
TJ Holmes is a good, fine piece of political commentary.
Oh my God. Don Lemon is just such a fucking dipshit. I assume you saw or read the transcript of this interview.
I read it because I don't even want to see Don Lemon's face or hear his fucking voice. But for those of you who don't know, Don Lemon is like a notorious dumbass, and
just consistently says something dumb.
Has something stupid to say all the time. he was interviewing a woman who was one of the women who made allegations that she was raped by Bill Cosby, and she said something about him like forcing oral sex on her. To which this dumbass decided to ask her because he, quote, had to ask.
Really?
This was such a pertinent question.
Had to? Like, yeah, this is-
he basically, in the most awkward way possible, asked her whether or not she could have, like, bit. This is okay. Like, it's so stupid. She asked him, like, he asked her basically why she didn't just bite his dick off.
Yeah. Like why she didn't just use her teeth. What was just like.
What was worse was he kind of worded it like, isn't it possible to prevent someone from forcing oral sex on you? And it's just kind of like.
She was just like, what?
Right.
Like, I was drugged, though. Like, and she was, like, I actually felt bad for her because it seemed like he was asking her, like, what steps should you have taken in order to not have been raped?
Which is why
night?
A lot of people were pissed.
Right. And that's the whole reason I'm pissed. Like, don't sit around and blame, turn around and frame these questions like it's somehow this girl's fault that this shit happened to her. Like, nigga, you so completely
all,
out of line.
First of all, this is not a girl. This is a grown-ass woman. So for you to sit there and ask this old lady why she didn't bite somebody's dick instead of, like, what a fucking idiot. Shut your mouth, lemon cake.
Right.
Shut your mouth.
If you need to be asking anybody questions about their decisions during a rape, you need to be asking the rapist why he decided to drug and rape somebody. Don't ask the victim why she didn't bite his dick off. Like, oh, okay, so what if she does use her teeth, Don Lemon? Then what? She gets a nice bite out of Bill Cosby's dick, and then what happens? He's already raping her. What do you think is the next step? Do you think he's going to hesitate to choke the shit out of her or beat her ass or kill her? No. Like, this is just so fucking dumb. Asking a victim of a violent sexual attack why they didn't respond with violence when the person who is attacking them is taller and heavier is just fucking dumb. Like, it was just stupid. Like, even if he wasn't any bigger, it was just a fucking dumbass question to ask. And what's even worse is CNN supports this fucking buffoonery 100% because they said that he will not be facing any disciplinary action for that shit. None at all.
I'm sure he won't.
And you CNN know, is garbage, though. Like, y'all act like it's not because so many of y'all get picked from Twitter or whatever to go randomly appear on CNN. So y'all try to act like it's still reputable and not a mess. It's a fucking mess. And I don't watch CNN just like I don't click on fucking World Star links. Like, y'all equally garbage in my eyes.
I took it like, because he came afterwards, you know, and said, because, you know, as a survivor of molestation or whatever, that I would never, et cetera, whatever, bitch. I honestly feel like at this point, people, like execs, are telling his dumb ass, say this so yeah. people will watch. And he's just and the he's shameless right. nigga that will just
I
say
agree.
It.
I really think, like, either, I don't even know if execs are saying it, but, like, maybe one time he said something stupid and noticed that he got a lot more attention and was like, I could say stupid shit all the time and turn this into a career. Like, I feel like that's kind of the road he's on.
Possibly.
I don't even think Don Lemon truly believes in the shit he's saying. Like, you can't. Like, I want to believe that he's smarter than this, but that shit was so far out of line. I cannot believe CNN is not even, like, suspending this nigga. Nothing at all. Like, no disciplinary action at all for asking a rape victim what she could have done to prevent her rape. Like, really? Okay.
Oh, corn chip face ass bitch.
I can't stand.
Stand.
Mm-mm.
Don Lemon.
Don Lemon can go, and so can CNN, honestly.
So that's this week's all the topics in our segments
right.
that we call bitch
get the fuck
right, and we're gonna take a break and be right back with questions. Hey guys, do you know what's awesome? Free snacks. That's right, I said those two words in that order. Snacks for the free. You can go get you some free snacks right now at naturebox.com/TheRead. We talk about them all the time. Naturebox is a subscription service that gives you snacks with no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, zero trans fat, and definitely no evil high fructose corn syrup. So go over to naturebox.com/TheRead. You can get a free trial box of 5 snacks. If you're anything like me and like to kick back with your belly button now and just eat something delicious, Naturebox is the place to start.
Yeah, guys, you can get Nature Box sent to your home or your office. You can stockpile them for when you're on the go. They're great in the morning if you happen to miss breakfast, or in the afternoon if you need a little pick-me-up. There's all kinds of different options. They have watermelon fruit chews, which, you know, I personally just, I'm very interested in that. The mango almond bites, garlic pumpkin seeds, cherry crumble granola. There's so many different options, like Hifuri said. So head on over to naturebox.com/thereed and try Nature Box for free. You get a trial box of 5 snacks. You are very welcome. So again, head on over to naturebox.com/thereed for your free trial right now.
That's right. Check out NatureBox. You're going to love them. And let's get back to the show. All right. So it's time for listener letters.
Yeah, it is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. And we're going to start this week with a question from Princess, who says, I'm currently
Cry Mom.
No, I'm going to guess not, although that did occur to me. Okay. And Princess says, I am currently in the best relationship of my life, but there's one little problem he cannot dress. I pride myself on being fashion savvy, and I think it is important to look fabulous when you leave the house. Unfortunately, my boyfriend couldn't care less about what he looks like, and I don't even think he turns on the light when he gets dressed. He just grabs a shirt and shorts or pants along with his favorite sandals. Okay. We've been together for 1.5 years now, and I've asked him several times to at least try to look presentable when we go out, but if I don't literally lay out his clothes for him, he will come out in his tragic uniform. I love him and don't want to be the nagging bitch girlfriend. However, this shit is driving me crazy. I feel so guilty for being mad because this feels super vain, and this is way too much work to physically dress a grown man. How do I address this in a non-bitchy way to help him adjust his sense of style, at least when he is out with me? That's Princess's problem.
Princess.
Girl. So what, he can't dress?
Like, no.
Is that really is it really that big of a deal?
Well, I think it's, here's the thing. First of all, we have to acknowledge that men are lazy. Especially when it comes to their appearance. Men, I won't say that men are lazy. They just don't, most men don't put as much like thought into their appearance when they go out. Damn sure don't put thought into what the fuck they got on when they're in the house. Not in comparison to women.
Okay.
You know, because obviously society and other women are hard on women when it comes to hair, skin,
I don't give a fuck about none of that. I would walk out the side looking crazy as hell. Cause who is gonna try me? Like, I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Just say it.
I mean, you're right.
Okay.
I think that if you're in the greatest relationship ever and he can't dress, then why don't you just like go shopping with him, or, you know, buy him a nice button down and be like, oh, wear this. I think that you
or
like,
just pick out his clothes for him since you love doing
bitch,
it so
ain't nobody
much.
Trying to do. Well, if she likes
right,
to
he
do
said
it.
He don't mind. Like, apparently he doesn't like fight back when she lays out the clothes. He's like, fine, I'll put that on. She's just like, she's tired of having to dress him, so how does she make him care? But I just don't think you can. Like,
yeah, I don't think, like, if you don't really give a fuck about what you have on or what you look, you're probably just not going to. Like,
yes,
usually the things that influence people to look nice when they go out is either their own desire to like be bad, yeah, when they walk out, or they're trying to get someone's attention and or keep someone's attention, whatever.
Yeah.
This nigga got your attention, and obviously he's been keeping it even in a dirty white tee and some cargo shorts or whatever the fuck this nigga wears when he goes out. You know, to Olive Garden with you, but I just feel like...
Not to Olive Garden.
You know, or wherever it is that you all love to dine, you know, Cheesecake Factory or Mr. Chow, I don't know, y'all.
I just don't see clothes as being that big of a deal.
Well, when you go out with someone, like when you're out with your boo, you want to, you know,
as long as you're dressed for the occasion, like don't wear jeans and tennis shoes to like a formal event. I really don't care. Or don't wear like some crazy, don't wear like a lime green zoot suit to like my cousin's wedding. Like, don't embarrass me. But
If you're going to go see, you know, Madea digs her own grave but doesn't die. Like, if y'all just running down the street to go to the movies.
Can you not?
Then fuck it, you know? Shit. But if y'all are, like, going to a party and you go see people you know there, or, you know, sometimes yeah. I feel like you can just like emphasize, let's put something together here, let's wash behind our ears, let's brush our tongue. You know, you have to remind niggas this shit sometimes. You really honestly do.
Do you have to tell them to brush
their tongue?
Why does anybody date men? You have to tell them to brush their tongue?
Some of them, yes.
That is disgusting. Like, what is wrong with y'all?
And niggas won't admit it, but they're fucking gross. Like, guys are just
I bet they put on the same drawers every day unless somebody is there to make sure that they're not. Like, same socks. Like, I bet y'all do a sniff test.
Do you know how many times you've probably gone over to a nigga's house to quote-unquote chill, and he cleaned that shit up 15 seconds before you came to the door? And by clean that shit up, I mean he stuffed everything in the closet.
That is just, I have noticed that men have a different standard of cleanliness for, like, their home.
Absolutely.
Like, what they consider presentable for somebody else to come over and kick it in. I'm just like, this is utter filth. Like, you expect people to sit down in this...
I'm super messy, but if
I'm
going to have...
this environment teeming with bacteria. Like, it's disgusting in here.
If I'm going to have, like, a guest or somebody come over, like, if I know that my shit is a mess, it's just like, no.
Yeah, I just won't have you come over. Like, you just can't. I'm sorry, you can't come over. It's that filthy. Like, I won't let you in my home.
If you want him to look like, you know, an Nietzsche ad or something, then I don't really know what to tell you.
Okay.
You know, or like.
A Nietzsche was quite random. Is that still manufactured?
I don't know.
It might be.
It just came out of my mouth.
Sean John.
Okay.
Polo. Rockaware. I'm just coming up with brands.
You're just talking about. Literally, like, clothing ads that were in the back of the Source.
I mean, that was probably the last time I gave a shit about clothes, honestly. I feel like the boyfriend in this letter, like, and, but I'm worse, because if you pick out clothes for me, I'm probably gonna tell you to kiss my ass or suck my dick. Like, if I don't want to wear it, I'm just not going to. Like, what's the big ass deal? You don't have to be with me if you don't like it.
If he looks like a complete slob when you're going out, like, on a date, then just talk to him about it. But I don't think that you're going to, like, I don't think that you're going to inspire him to go shopping and, like, change his wardrobe out. You ain't Kanye West and he's not Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on. Our next question comes from Felicia. And it says, recently my friends and I came home from a night of drinking and partying to retreat to our boyfriends as we usually do.
What?
On this particular night, my one friend came back to our apartment unusually quick and pretty pissed off because she caught her boyfriend in bed with another girl. We proceeded to go the entire fuck off and hyped each other up and drove over to his house. I brought a bottle to use, but then quickly remembered our dear friend, DeBrat, and her situation, so I calmed my ass down with that.
Amen.
Good job. Mm-hmm. When we got there, my friend and the girl got into a quick fight, and she came out with her nose bleeding. We went up after that, but his mother proceeded to come out, so we all left.
Work.
Jeez. Jesus. But when we got home, there was a lot of yelling, crying, and everything in between. I was fully prepared to have this nigga killed or beat up for disrespecting my friend.
So wait, he was fucking somebody at his mama's house?
That's what I just realized. Like, so you had the audacity. So not only was your friend fucking him in his mama's house, he was fucking a side bitch in his mama's house. Like, that nigga is quite brave. Does he have a separate entrance or some shit? Because I'm thinking about living with my mama.
Lives in the garage.
I would not be having no rotating lineup of hoes in my mama's house. Like, that's not happening. But anyway, we're not even done with the letter. However, not even a full week after she tells me that she invited him over and had birthday sex with him. Okay. I have lost so much respect for her, and I cannot figure out why she even gave this fuckboy her time. I'm so pissed at myself for going the fuck off like that, because had I known she was just going to turn around and fuck him, I wouldn't have gotten mad and I would have kept my black ass in the house that night. Am I doing too much, or am I being judgmental for feeling this way? Is it fair to resent your friend after you turned up for her and then she turned around and fucked the nigga a week later?
So here's the thing.
Why do you have that look on your face?
I think that you have every right to be resentful or to feel resentful towards your friend, because mm-hmm. you was ready to, like, do hard time.
Yeah. Like you went over there ready to fight.
Like, you had to be like, you know what? I cannot bust this bottle of Grey Goose over this nigga's head, because I will literally go down. And it's just not. I don't have
yes,
time for it.
Yes.
Like, you were really ready.
Proud of you for showing some restraint there, actually.
The thing is, I don't know. Maybe this was, like, the first experience that she's had with this friend where some shit like this went down. And you just have to use this example because people are complicated when it comes to matters of the heart, when it comes to love. Some people are very easy, you know, for something terrible to fucking happen between them and their guy, or them and that girl, and jump right back into bed with them. It happens literally every day. I think that you have every right to be pissed. And I think that you have the right to tell your friend that you're pissed about it. Mm-hmm. And I think you also have the right to express to your friend, if this ever happens to you again, God forbid it doesn't. Yes. But if it does, call someone else.
Apparently they all live together, but 100%
on someone else's
bedroom door. Do not run up in my iMessage talking about, bitch, I caught this nigga in bed with another woman. Because first of all, honey, we've read this story before, and I'm not a fan of repeats. So don't tell me that your nigga did the same fucked up shit to you twice. Because by that point, I'm bored, and I'm wondering why you're not bored. Are you not tired of getting cheated on? I don't know. I don't understand why this had to happen multiple times and for you to still be shocked about it. Like,
and furthermore, he cheated on you at his mama's house.
In his mama's house.
There's no reason that your pussy should still be on the offering.
Much less a week later. Now, I have done this for friends. I have turned up like this, rode out to a nigga's house with my friends because they caught their nigga doing some shit. I have been that friend in the back seat. Like, so I understand 100%. Bitch, if you have me get up, and this was after the club, so they were drunk, probably high, and like had to be after 2 a.m. Bitch, if you have me outside in the middle of the fucking night, ready to whoop a nigga ass, and then his mama come outside and we dealing with all that, and a week later you fucking him, don't never talk to me about riding out on that nigga ever the fuck again. Don't ever bring it
Don't talk to me about riding out on any nigga.
Just don't talk to me about him. It would behoove you to not bring him around me, because I'ma talk stank about him to his face, and I'ma dare him to say something to me. What is your nigga gonna do to me? I would love to know. Please do something, because I have something to say about your raggedy ass and your raggedier ass for taking him back. Like, I would feel a way. I would definitely feel a way that I would feel like my time had been wasted. And like, just don't have people. If you know that you're the type to where if this nigga call you and say some sweet words, you just gonna go running back into his bed anyway. Don't call your friends and have them get mad on your behalf. Like, don't have people taking time out of their day when they could have been asleep at home high watching TV, like, what the fuck, chilling the fuck out, fucking they man who ain't busy fucking somebody else at his mama's house. Like, wow. They could have been doing their own shit, but no, they got up out the bed to go whoop a nigga ass for you. If you know you're just gonna turn around and give him some pussy a week later, then bitch, don't call your friends. Deal with it on your own.
What do you do when you are the one that is stuck in an emotional situation with someone who you know ain't very good, who you know ain't shit maybe, and you don't like, because it's ridiculous to just to assume that someone can, how do I say this? I feel like I'm way more articulate when I'm high.
I don't think that's true.
Think it's a little ridiculous to just assume that people can just say fuck this nigga because he obviously ain't shit. Like, I feel like a lot of people, if not most people, can say that at some time they were dealing with someone who they knew they shouldn't be with, but mm-hmm. it's just hard to let it go. So what do you do when you're in that situation? And because see, what I do is I usually spread the complaint out among different friends. So if I'm like, I'll complain to one friend or one set of friends, and then if I have a complaint again, I'll just go say to somebody else, because I'm not going to keep going back to the same garbage friend, because they don't like,
because nobody, you don't want to hear that. Like, if it was your friend coming to you about the same nigga twice in 1 month, like, oh girl, he had his up to his old tricks again, you would be like, okay bitch, like, come on now.
Like, he been up to his right, old tricks his for same, 7 years.
like, okay, girl,
I'm
we
not
know
doing this bullshit.
I'm not
with you
right,
anymore.
But I don't know. I don't think I understand your question. Like, what if you're the one in the relationship?
No, I'm saying, what is there to be said for a friendship where one person is like stupid in love, basically, and unable to just see the shit for what it is, and the other friend or friends are tired of fucking hearing about
it.
We get this question from one side or the other all the time on the show. It happens at all the live shows. Like, someone comes up to the microphone and says that, you know, I'm tired of my fucking friend telling, yes, to, you know, talk to me about this fuck.
And there she go right there.
And she's
in row
right
three,
there,
seat nine. Like, y'all be clowning the shit out of your friends
all
at
the
these
time
shows. But like, It's a good 80% of the letters in the inbox are something to do with a fuck nigga. And what do I do about my friend and this fuck nigga? Like, it's nothing you can do. You cannot make a grown person do shit. And you cannot explain it to her better than she can live it. Meaning, I can sit here and say to you all day long, you need to quit fucking with that nigga. He's been fucking around with 7 other bitches. You caught 2 of them. You saw the tape on 3 of them. Like, you use so much evidence time and time again, and you continue to fuck with this. So what can I even say after the first time that I've counseled you through this? I don't know what else to say, because the first time I gave you all I had. Like, I gave you, if you come to me with advice, oh my God, girl, this nigga done fucked up, I give it to you. Like, I'm gonna give it to you if you ask for it.
Some people have to, I think, really overcome that fight. And I think that if and when you do that, you'll probably be better for a future relationship. Like, you probably might start dating someone who is abusive, whether it be physically, emotionally, whatever, and be like, oh, fuck all of that right here and right now, and move on. But it can be hard when you are, like, very deeply in love with someone and they're toxic, basically, to you, whether they mean to be or not. And you can't let it go. It's not like I think it's easy to say, well, you know, you can blame that person, because you kind of can, but it's so common that people are stuck in relationships where they're unhappy because they just simply love the person. That yeah, it but makes you can't all kinds make of your kinds friend of complications. Which is why I said, bitch, I'll complain to your ass, and then if I want to talk to you about that nigga again, I'll wait until another season.
But you can't, like, but as the person who is the friend and not the person in the relationship, I can't make you be fed up. I can't be fed up on your behalf. Only right. You can take so much of this nigga shit that you tired of sitting at home crying behind him. Like, only you can decide that you tired of having your heart broken. You tired of being lied to. You tired of sitting at home wondering where this nigga at, checking your phone every 45 seconds, trying to see if the little iMessage 3 dots is popping up, or if that nigga ain't replied back to you.
Well, I don't know.
All the different ways y'all sit up behind niggas who have done you wrong. I cannot be tired of that shit for you. Only you can be sick of that shit. So when you decide you've had enough of that nigga treating you like you ain't shit, then you can go ahead and move on. But I can't get you to that point. And I understand that as the friend who has been the one crazy in love with somebody who was no good once. It didn't take me but one time to be in a shitty relationship for me to be like, okay, I don't have the patience for this. Like, I don't have the tolerance for this bullshit. So when you decide you're over it, then you go on and be over it. But until then, I'm going to be over here like, girl, let me know if you need something. But you can't give somebody the same complaint time and time again and expect them to sit there and be like, okay, sweetie, like, shit, your friends don't know what to do either.
All right. Well, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I think that answers Laura. Oh, no, Felicia. I think that answers Felicia's question. Do you want to do one more or do you want to stop?
We can do one more.
Because the last one is really short. It's from Lauren. It just says, put your iPod on shuffle and name the first 3 songs.
I can put my iTunes on shuffle because I don't have my iPod with me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to just do my...
And name the first 3 songs. This could go...
Okay. Hard by Rihanna featuring Young Jeezy. That's number 1.
Oh, wait. This is the wrong little... Okay, hold on a second. I've got it. Here we go. The first one is Cleared Out by Trina.
Okay.
Forever in a Day by Kelly Rowland and Rumor Has It by Adele.
Okay. Well, my first one was Rihanna, Hard. The second one is 99 Problems by Jay-Z. All right. That okay.
In the Def Jam,
and Mark the third Obama. One is Cheers, Drink to That by Rihanna. How random. Oh, for me to get 2 Rihanna. I know, right? For me to get 2 Rihanna songs, maybe it's a sign that R8 has come in. I hope. I actually do enjoy Rihanna's, like, you know, I've grown used to Rihanna, and I'm actually like,
is that what it's called?
I you know, because I think
R8.
R8. Well, no. I don't think it's called R8, but like that's...
Is that what the stands are calling it?
I don't know if the stands are calling it that. I feel like it's just colloquially referred to as that. Oh, since okay, it's her 8th album and it's Rihanna. Like, I don't think it's actually called that. But I'm actually looking forward to seeing what she comes up with since this has been like a noticeable break in between albums. So I'm actually kind of excited for her.
The Saltwater Room by Owl City. Tonight by Janet Jackson. Switchboard by Kid Sister.
I'm sorry, I thought that was the name of a book. The Saltwater Room by Owl City. That sounds like a title and author.
Chained by the XX. Busted, the Isley Brothers.
I Get Out, Lauryn Hill. MTV Kaboom Unplugged
by Kalina.
Ooh, John Legend's cover of Rolling in the Deep. Have you heard that?
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
The Fighter by Gym Class Heroes. Russian Roulette. Valley of the Dolls by Marina and the Diamonds. In the Dark by JoJo.
Frank Ocean, Think About You. Erykah Badu, Window Seat.
Ain't Nobody by Mary J. Blige.
Dancing in the Dark, Solange. Give Me More, Britney Spears.
Experimental by Big Sean.
Full Moon, Brandy.
Last Day, The Notorious B.I.G.
1+1, Beyonce.
Between Two Lungs, Florence and the Machine.
We Made It, Jay-Z and J. Electronica.
I'm a Fool to Want You, Billie Holiday.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was way more than three, so. All right, that wraps up the questions for this week. Send yours to asktherita@gmail.com, and we will be right back.
Hey guys, do not forget to check out our awesome, awesome sponsors at Squarespace. If you've never had to build a website before, I can tell you personally that it is a pain in the butt. It is so annoying. It's extremely stressful. But now we have Squarespace to make beautiful websites without a sweat. If you're new to Squarespace, make sure that you go and check them out. And if you've been hearing about them, probably like on the show, there's even more now with Squarespace 7, which features a redesigned user interface, integration with Google Apps, which is really cool, a partnership with Getty Images, 15 new design templates, and cover pages, which is really good for like portfolios and personal business websites. You can read much more of that at squarespace.com/7. But if you go to squarespace.com and enter the offer code FURY, you'll get 10% off at checkout.
Yeah, and all of this comes with the same great Squarespace features that we already use and love on thisisthered.com, like beautiful designs with simple and powerful interfaces. They have 24/7 support via live chat or email. I had to hit them up once in like the middle of the night and somebody got back to me in 15 minutes. It was fantastic. They have responsive design. They have a commerce option so that you can sell your goods and services online if you need to do that. So again, head over to squarespace.com and use offer code FURY to get 10% off your first purchase. And to show support for the show, we thank Squarespace for their support. Again, we use them for This Is The Read and we love them. So thanks, and head on over to Squarespace. That's offer code FURY for 10% off.
Yes, Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. I love a good tagline.
Yeah,
let's get back
one.
To the show. All right, so it's time for the read.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just going to go ahead and go.
Okay.
So I don't know if we talked about this on the show.
I don't remember.
But there's a woman by the name of Shanisha Taylor. Shanisha Taylor is
already
the woman. It's not intentional. Shanisha Taylor was in the news recently when she left, I think, one of her kids. I think it was just one child. It was two kids?
Yeah, the both of them.
Okay, she left her kids in the car while she went to a job interview. She got caught and she was charged with felony abuse. And I think that the judge may have had like some sympathy for her, which many people did. She had this mugshot where she looked like she was bawling. There were tears running down from her eyeballs to like her cleavage. It's just like she just looked so distraught. And it was a really, really sad story. So here we are thinking this woman is trying to get a job and get on her feet. And the judge apparently gave her a deadline to raise or to create a trust fund for the kids of $40,000. Someone, I guess, in New Jersey started some kind of a fundraiser and got this woman $114,000. So now, apparently, Shanisha is in more trouble because the deadline for her to get this trust fund has passed and there's no trust fund to be accounted for. Not to mention, there are rumors that Shanisha was spending over $4,000 a month on non-essential items and even spent $6,000 in a studio for her baby's father's rap album. All of this comes from, well, the rap album story comes from Reverend, who Taylor says is not on her defense team and is basically lying on her and whatnot and here for her and what such.
Oh, and her lawyers quit.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a good sign.
Her lawyers definitely backed out of what they called the deal of a lifetime after she basically ruined it. So she's doing court again next month. And very interested to see what the judge is going to say. Now, my issue with this is, sweetheart, we felt so bad for you. I felt so bad for you. Like, you left these kids in the car, in this hot-ass car, during a job interview. And we're thinking, mama, you're homeless. You don't have anything else to do. Like, you had no choice. What was supposed to happen here? First of all, if your baby daddy is making rap albums, he couldn't come get the kids while you were... I'm sitting here thinking that you don't know your baby daddy, or he doesn't claim your kids, or he's just some fuck nigga that you could not get into contact with. If the father of your children is not only around, but he's recording raps, he can certainly rap with them kids in his lap. Okay, drop a cute Christian 16 for their S's while you're out here filling out applications. That's first and it's foremost. But that's also a rumor. So we'll just sit that on over to the side. Mm-hmm. However, I will, if the baby daddy is around, your kids didn't need to be locked up in no car. They should have been at his house. They should have been at his mama's house. They should have been at your mama's house. They could have been like Jimbury. I don't know what to tell you, but there's that. Mm-hmm. Now, You were required to create a trust fund, $40,000. You got more than twice that. I'm telling you, when I'm high, it makes like I can do these things.
Okay.
More than twice that amount was given to you by people who just, like, all of our heartstrings were just snatched when we saw this photo and read your story. How have you not created this trust fund yet? Free money, and a whole bunch of it. All you had to do was go down to the bank or wherever and say, I want stuff, all of this cash that I didn't have to work for, into a fund for my kids. Now, you said that apparently her story was that she didn't want to make a trust fund because if she were to do that, then the kids wouldn't have had access to the money until
they were in college. That they would only get it if they went to college. And I guess she didn't want that stipulation. So she just, and then she also said that she didn't have the time, that her bank only lets her do like a certain amount of withdrawals in a month. But they told you this in July, sweetie, and it's November now. So
the money that you're getting is less about it being like, what's the word I want to use? It's not really a safety net. I mean, people are giving you this money obviously because they wanted to help out and they're feeling like you don't really have anywhere to turn. But the judge that you're sitting in front of facing these felony abuse charges, the judge is the one that told you this is what you need to do for me to close your case. Otherwise, your ass is as good as grass. You didn't do that. It's not about when you want your kids to have the money or how they can have access to the money or not. You still need to go out and get your ass a job and feed your kids yourself. You were given this money out of the kindness of however many hearts. That's your job. The one thing that you needed to do here was subtract a nice portion out of that and put it into a fund for the kids. Whether they got that shit when they went to college, they could just go to DeVry, Lemur, wherever the fuck it is that they needed to go to get this fucking money popping. Or not. Either way, you got free, you had a get out of jail ticket. Like, literally. They gave you the money you needed. 40 grand. All you had to do was lock that shit up. All of these excuses, they're probably the same ass excuses that you had for when you locked them kids up in that hot box in the first place when you were inside of Trader Joe's or wherever the fuck trying to get a job. Like, sweetheart, you don't really have much room here for the excuses talking about a reverend is slandering you or lie. You didn't even know whether or not to call it libel or slander. And you have a whole legal defense team. Like, sweetheart, stop it. I do believe that you probably did give your baby's father $6,000 to record a remix to Loyal or whatever the fuck it is that he's trying to do. I believe all of this. I believe that you make poor ass decisions and this is the problem. So good luck in court next month. And
these are felony charges that, like, she could have avoided felony charges had she just moved this money into the account.
You could have avoided having your kids taken away from you altogether by just taking some of this money. Not, it's not like you raised $45,000. Like, right. You raised $114,000.
You didn't even raise it.
It was literally given to you by people who felt bad for your ass. All you had to do was just take a chunk. Just take a chunk and put it away. And you still would have had plenty of money to go out and get some Enemans and put some damn fucking Yeezys on your kids' feet and get a new weave. You still would have had plenty money left over to get whatever fucking cereal it is your kids like, to maybe get a back rub. You would have had plenty of change left over. All you needed to do was follow the instructions that the judge gave you so that you could have moved on with your life. But you're hard-headed. And so good luck. Good fucking luck. I hate being made a fool by these dumb niggas. I hate it.
Yeah.
Because I felt so bad for this woman. And there's nothing worse. Like when you take some money out of your own damn pocket and put it to one of these crowdfunding situations. And then it's like, well, I don't know what the fuck we did with your money. I mean, I'm ferociously full right now. I had an amazing meal. But that has nothing to do with the money that you worked your ass off for.
The craziest thing I read is that she said she bought Kindles for them kids. And I'm like, sweetie, you bought a Kindle for a 6-year-old and 2-year and a 6-month-old? Like, or a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old?
Well, no shade. Tablets actually can be really, like, if I have a baby, I'm definitely getting
tablets are one thing, but the Kindles are for reading. Like,
well, Kindles have apps and things on them too.
So exactly what is a 6-month-old gonna do with a Kindle? They good if they can sit up by their damn selves. Like, that is a feat at 6 months. You trying to tell me your 6-month-old is so interactive with one of these new fancy-ass Kindles that he needed one of his own? He couldn't share the 3-year-olds if a 6-month-old was even going to use it. Like, that was just what, like, stood out to me. Like, bitch, is you serious? Kindles? Girl, all right. It's your money. You theoretically can do whatever you want to with it, but now you're facing felony charges, and this all could have been so simple.
Exactly. You could have just put the money away that the judge ordered you to put away and then bought your fucking kids all of the Leapfrogs that their asses wanted. You could have bought them every fucking Crayola crayon, from a regular ass red to fluorescent beige and fucking, what is it, eggshell blue or whatever.
And crew.
Whatever the fuck.
All the colors, bitch.
Every fucking yes. Crayola color and all the damn Dora the Explorer are Franklin-ass coloring books. But you didn't want to do that. You wanted to be hard-headed and make up fucking excuses because I don't know what you thought that you were just going to get away with. I don't know. Good luck.
Just a fool.
Shanisha Taylor. Good luck. And apparently, well, more of the rumor is that she doesn't even have any of that money. Like, she blew that money.
Yeah, she says she still has it, but the man, the preacher, says that she doesn't. So who knows which side's telling the truth there. But it just seems like it's one of those situations where you hope that's as messy as it gets. Like, please, Lord, do not let it be no worse than what's already on the blogs. Because, girl, like, we were all rooting for you.
I'm not doing
it. Okay. Well, my read this week goes out to a 29-year-old correctional officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Yes, where all the shit about Mike Brown is currently going on. We're waiting for a grand jury decision, but that could be, you know, another 6 to 8 weeks, I guess, before we find out about that. But there is a 29-year-old CO, I think his name is Jarris, maybe Jarris, a black man who happens to have a job working for the Ferguson police or whatever department it is that houses inmates. Anyway, this man has been accused of raping a pregnant inmate and then setting her free. And not even, I mean, he has been accused, but it's not like she just said it out of nowhere. Like, she went to the hospital after the rape and they took a DNA sample and there was a pubic hair and it matched Jairus. So they've accused you, but the case is pretty much rock fucking solid. It's not like, oh, some airy ass allegation where I can be like, oh, these white people lying on you. It's not like that. Like, you did this shit, nigga, because otherwise, how the fuck did your pube end up in her pubes? Like, it doesn't. That doesn't just happen. Confusing. Especially if you're a CO and she's a pregnant inmate. She was visibly pregnant, which I don't think even makes a difference. Like, if to me, it's fucked up regardless. But, you know, that tidbit of information was included in the story, so I included it here. Now, Jairus, off top, you a nasty motherfucker for raping somebody. Like, and then especially for using your power as a CO and raping an inmate, much less a pregnant one. Like, this is nasty as fuck on at least 5 different levels that I can think of. But nigga, in the middle of all this shit is when you decide that you gonna act an ass. Like, in the middle, when the whole country and when black people in this country and then other nations across the world are paying attention to what's going on in Ferguson, actually giving a fuck about the racial tension that's happening in Missouri and in so many other places. Like, when we are already under so much scrutiny, you decide now is the time you want to fuck up like this? Like, really? I hate to say that I hold black people to a higher standard, because I feel like that's what fucks us up a lot, is the idea that, you know, if we fuck up a little bit, then it's automatically we terrible people, whereas white people are allowed to get away with a whole bunch and it's no big ass deal. So I'm not trying to make it seem like that type of situation, but my nigga, you was nasty as fuck for this already. Like, it's no excuse for no shit like that. You was already a dirty dick ass nigga, just like a filthy motherfucker, like the kind where it's totally understandable that your mama don't answer your phone calls no more and your sister won't let you come around her kids. Like, all of that would have been completely justifiable, because again, you were clearly acting as an agent of Satan when you did this. It's nothing in this world you can say to me that's gonna make me say it's okay for you to have sex with a woman against her will, especially a pregnant inmate, and you are a CO. I don't care what race is which. I don't give a fuck. Like, you being black don't save you from this cussing out that you about to get. Like, you earned this public ridicule. Like, it was just, it's hard for me to even put into words how fucked up this is that you did. But for you to do it coming off the heels of all this shit going on in Ferguson and all these white people already assuming the worst about us and killing us behind assumptions, you want to go ahead and make the assumptions true. Like, that just, I'm just very sickened by people like you. And I don't fucking appreciate the fact that we already have to fight so hard to just be viewed as humans and to have like some kind of humanity assigned to us. And then you come and just with one simple, disgusting, devastating act, you just come and rinse all that away. Like, fuck you, Jairus, however the fuck you say your name, sir. I hope you ride in hell for all eternity. And that's my read this week.
Well, that's our show.
Yes, it is. Make sure you check us out at thisistheread.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thisistheread.
Yes. Shout out to Toronto.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time in Toronto, our first show outside of America.
I mean, even though it snowed.
Even though it snowed, and even though somebody asked us if Blue Ivy's hair was appropriate, I don't know. I still don't know what she was thinking, but
acceptable was the word that she used.
No, it was appropriate.
No, it was acceptable.
I would put this on, like, I would bet $5 she said appropriate.
I would bet $20 that she said acceptable, because I remember staring into her eyes.
Okay.
And coming across her soul to say that
I want my $20, because I'm certain she said appropriate. But that doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. Either way,
it was acceptable. Okay. My bad. I owe you $5. Anyway, yes. So despite those, we had a great time in Toronto meeting all of y'all, and y'all were very generous with the gifts. Again, we never ask anybody to bring us things, but when you do, it is very much appreciated. To the person who wrote me a proposal letter, that was very nice. somebody wrote me a note, and when I got back to the hotel that night and opened it up, it was like, I just want to know if you would marry me. I'm young and I'm in school and I don't have shit, but I would love you and I'm not a fuck nigga. And I was just like, what?
Okay.
So that was very different and sweet. Thank you for that. But I had a great time in Toronto. Everybody said it was like a clean Manhattan, and I found that to be true.
Yes, I also
did not smell
that.
Like piss. So
also thank you to Drake for the Caribbean food.
Oh right, I forgot Drake bought you dinner. How was that?
Drake didn't. So Drake kind of. We went to one of Drake's favorite West Indian restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I had like some really delicious food. So I feel like essentially what happened was that Drake recommended a meal for me and I thank him for it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Speaking of cities, New Orleans, we're coming your way on December 13th. Tickets are available at thereednola.com. And that's going to be our last show for 2014. This year flew by. Like, I swear January was yesterday. I cannot believe it's already mid-November.
So, I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I have that feeling too, but I don't know what it is. So, oh well.
Did I mention? Anyway, look out for some things.
Okay.
Got some new things I'm going to be talking to y'all about soon that I'm not going to talk about now because I do what I want. So.
All right. Do we have an acronym this week or are we ready to go?
Yeah. The acronym this week is going to be H-N-N.
Okay.
Home of Nuts!